You'll notice you have a bulletin insert that that tells you a little bit about what we're going to be doing this month in our messages here for Advent, and then also a little bit an outline to follow along for today. The title of our series this Advent season is Songs of Emmanuel. What we're going to do together is we're going to focus. We're going to focus way down. With the whole of the Christmas story, all of the prophecy, everything that you read about in your Advent devotional booklets, everything that we share throughout the season in terms of the biblical message and the Bible readings having to do with Christmas, all of that's a background. But what we're going to focus on during these next four services is simply this, a name. And the name is Emmanuel. I had the privilege this past week to have the opportunity to go and pray with Barbara, our own Barbara, the person who actually runs our church, besides Jesus. She's Jesus' right-hand woman here at Covenant. Some people might think it's me. It's Barbara. And I had the privilege of going in and praying with her just before she went in for her brain surgery this week. By the way, she's recovering very well. Thank you for your prayers. Better than expected, I think. And so we continue to pray for her continued recovery, but apparently she's doing quite well given the circumstances. But I had a chance to pray with her before. And one of the things that she said to me while she was in the hospital was, she said, "You know, Jay, that tableau was so beautiful last Sunday." This is a couple days after the tableau. Was that just a week ago? And it was so beautiful, and it was a wonderful experience to have in my mind before I went in for surgery. What a wonderful testimony. I thought to myself as she told me that, I don't care if there's anybody else here. She was here. God used it in her life before she went in for one of the most traumatic things she's ever experienced. And that would have been enough. If she was sitting here by herself, I'm glad we put all that effort into the tableau. And she prayed. I prayed for her, and then she prayed. I said amen. We could have stopped. But then she picked it up from her bed, and she prayed a God is with me prayer. And among other things, she said this, "God, you are good. Lord, you are in control." An amazing prayer before you go in for them to operate on your brain. Now, some people would say those sort of remarks, "God, you are good, God, you're in control," is just whistling in the dark. I mean, brain tumor and all. But I would like to ask those people, the skeptics, what tune would you like to have on your lips when the lights go out on your life? When circumstances get frightening? When your usual go-to solutions are like so many umbrellas in a hurricane, what tune would you like to have on your lips, in your mind, in your heart? Here's another prayer from Barbara. This is a prayer from before she knew she had a brain tumor, written a few weeks before that and appearing in our Advent devotional. Yeah, I'm seeing head nods. Did you notice that? She wrote that before she knew any of this. Amazing. Go back and look at it. Yesterday's Advent devotional, if you haven't done so already. And here's her prayer from yesterday, less than a week after having her brain operated on. "Lord, give me a heart of gratitude that brings forth a quick remembrance of what you have done for your people, for me. May remembering bring a greater trust in you and your all-sufficiency in my life and in the lives of others for whom I am concerned. And I pray that a greater trust will take away my fears. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me?" Quoting Psalm 56, 3 and 4. Barbara had a good tune on her lips and in her heart. And then the world turned dark and frightening for her and her tune was still there. Here is that good tune. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Oh come, Emmanuel. And there are dozens of others. God is with me. One of the things that we're going to be doing during this month is looking at Christmas carol clues to this Emmanuel name. Clues that lead us back into biblical insights, like the story we heard Emma read so beautifully for us already from Matthew 1, 18 through 25. The goal this month is that we will uncover, rediscover, affirm, reaffirm the truth about Emmanuel, God with us. And I want to start this way. Just, I'm going to teach you a little Hebrew, okay? In the Greek text, the name is Emmanuel, but it's sort of a transliteration. It's a Hebrew name. It comes from Hebrew. And the Greeks don't try to change the words. They just use that name like we do with names. But repeat after me, would you? Em. That means with in Hebrew. Anu. That means we or us. El. That means God. With us is God. Okay? So every time you hear Emmanuel, when we sing Emmanuel, I want you to think Em, Anu, El. And be good Hebrews. That's what this word means. Em, Anu, El. With us, God. Now, as you can see, what we're going to do over the next 4 weeks is we're going to take that phrase, God is with us, and we're going to pick it apart a word at a time. And we're going to start with the last one, us. Emmanuel, this name, tells us something about ourselves, who we are, who we are meant to be. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. This is really the thesis for I think it's the best-selling Christian book of all time other than the Bible, which is The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. It's how he starts, and it's sort of the theme throughout that book. It's not about you. It's not about us. Of course, the irony of this is that this author, after he had made a gigantic church with Jesus' name all over it and Rick's name all over it too, then proceeded to sell lots and lots of books, effectively making it about him, like no pastor before or since. Now, it's difficult in our culture to do well in the world's eyes without, quote, making it about me. Our culture of stars, superstars, and going viral on the web will make it about you, whether you want them to or not. Rick Warren is right, of course. It's not about us. Our job is to make everything about God, because that is the truth. Everything is about God. Romans 11:36, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen. The chief end of man. Westminster Shorter Catechism, question and answer number one. What is the chief end of man? It's an old way of saying, what's the purpose of humankind? Many of you know the answer. I hope all of you do or will after this. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. It's not about us. It's about God. But, and this is a very large but, God says things are, to an amazing extent, about us. God says so. We are made in God's image. We are endowed with heavenly dignity, all human beings. Every person, whoever sets foot in this church, everyone, every person whoever sets foot down at the Good Shepherd's clothes closet, everyone, the ones who don't seem to be in their right minds, the ones who can't take care of themselves and don't seem to have anyone to watch out for them other than the good folks down at Good Shepherd's and other benevolent organizations, love organizations here in Reno, everyone is endowed with immense heavenly dignity simply because they are human. God sought us and saved us in Jesus when we had turned away from Him and towards sin and death. And God is with us. So it is about us, but not in the way we tend to think, naturally. It's not about glorifying ourselves, but how we glorify God. By what we do, but also just by being truly human. It's not about how God has caused or allowed us humans to receive glory. All this fame and acclaim will melt away soon enough. Instead, it's about how God is glorifying Himself by what He says and does for us. It's about how He is God with us. The name, Emmanuel. And you can spell it with an I or an E, since it's just a transliteration into English, from the transliteration into Greek, from the transliteration out of Hebrew. God with us. We are called to be in community on purpose. And the Christmas carol clue that I would point us to today is, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. We saw the Christmas story, Matthew 1, 21 through 25, 18 through 25, where we read the quote from the prophet Isaiah, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Let's take a look at some other scripture clues, and we'll talk about them in a minute. 1 John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. More on that in a moment. Then Genesis 12:1-3. This is the very beginning of redemption history. First 11 chapters of the Bible tell us how we got into this mess. And beginning with chapter 12 through the end of Scripture, it tells about how God is going to work, did work, does work, and will work to get us out of this mess. So the beginning of redemption history, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And then Matthew 28, the end of the Gospel of Matthew. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to understand these things in a way that makes a difference to us, that changes our Christmas season because of the truth that is in the name, Emmanuel. And it is in your name, Lord, that we pray. Amen. Okay. Like Jesus, we are important. Unlike Him, we are not God. Figuring out that distinction, living into that distinction, I think is a key to healthy human life. We are important. We and every person around us, but we are not God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is an amazing statement about the identity of Jesus. Jesus is something extraordinarily special. Jesus is fully human. In some sense, Jesus is a different person from God. This is where we get the idea of the Trinity. One God, three persons. It's a mystery. But it is accurate for us to speak of Jesus being with God. There's God, here's Jesus. Two different things, in some sense. There is a sense in which God the Son is not God the Father. It's a mystery. If you figure it out, let me know. We'll write a book. But you won't, because it's too high. But we know enough to be able to affirm that. Jesus is somehow not God the Father, but he's still God. And that's the other part. With God and the Word, which is Jesus, was God. Wait, which is it? Is he God, or is he something that can be spoken of as being different than God so he can be with? See, if I speak of being with myself, here I am standing with myself, you'll say, okay, right? No, I am me. I can't be with me. I can't be in two places at once. Now, my wife can. I don't know how she does it. But anyway, that's a different story. It must be a man-woman thing. I don't know. But in Jesus' case, there's this fundamental mystery. John 1:1. He's with God, and he is God. Now, we cannot say that about us. We can say we are with God. We can say God is with us. But we cannot say we are God. And this is the first thing to get straight. Jesus, God incarnate, did not come to reveal that God is us. Part of our natural state, steeped in sin and suckers for deception, is to keep thinking along the lines of we are God. Everything is about us. I think that's the besetting sin of the human race, and it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It really can be all about you. You can place yourself at the center of your universe accurately, truthfully. No. God is at the center. God is not us. Everything is not about us. Now, having affirmed that Jesus, the one called Emmanuel, is like us, fully human, but also and especially utterly different from us, fully God, we can move forward with caution. Since Abraham, God has been forming his Christmas community. This group of people, his chosen people Israel, and now his chosen people, followers of Jesus, the real church, these are the ones who are to proclaim the good news of God with us. And it is not a light thing to be part of this community. We are the ones experiencing and proclaiming Emmanuel. God is with us. We have great dignity and importance in God's world. Jesus was called God with us, Emmanuel. He wasn't to be given the name Imbotanuel or Imarboreal, meaning God is in the trees. He wasn't in Philosophuel. God is in our ideas. The best idea. He wasn't in Astronuel. In the stars. Or Geologuel. In the earth. In stuff. It wasn't Chimpanuel. Though that does have a nice ring to it, don't you think? God with chimps. God with all living things. God in nature. No. He was to be called Immanuel. God is with us. Where do we find this Christmas community of God formed since the days of Abraham today? It's us. We are purposefully chosen. And we are chosen for a purpose. What is our purpose as God's Christmas community? Well, a big part of it is this. Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, is born. He has come. He has come to save. He lived. He died. He was raised. He accomplished his purpose. Know him. Trust him. Choose to put your trust in him and live forever. Emmanuel. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus said, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Genesis 12. You know, Christmas lights. It's one of the great things about this season of the year, isn't it? Everybody in the neighborhood. Well, not everybody. There's always that one or two people that are skipping Christmas this year. That's when you need to get the Christmas mafia to go to their house and make them put up their... Anyway, if you haven't seen the movie, you'll see it some other time. It's part of the season. I put my lights up on the house yesterday. It was cold. They were going up late. We had a few other things going on around here. I started by testing the strings. I'm smart. I test my strings in the house before I go out in the cold. First string I tested, plugged it in, pop! Smoke. I thought about it and I said, I don't think I'll use that string. I screwed in a plug connector in my outside light socket. You know, the one that you plug into the light socket and then you can plug stuff into it. Didn't work. Had to get another one. That one worked, though. And I don't know why. Lights are fragile. I broke three of them before I even started to put them up. Breaking Christmas lights, that just doesn't thrill me at all. You know, when they're broken, they don't work. And then they can actually short out the whole string. I've learned that one through experience. Here's the key that I've discovered through my years of putting up Christmas lights. You gotta make sure that each light is connected to the power source. Actually, we did a lot of that work yesterday. That big tree is tough. You know, there's about 15 different strings of lights on there and every one of them can go out individually, and then you have to hunt for what's going on. Anyway, that's... But do come and help us decorate next year. You got to have them plugged in. You got to have the fuses in good working order. You got to have the wires functioning properly, connected. Lights shining out. You know, that's the vision that brought me to Reno some 15, 16 years ago. I saw this little tower as we drove, Janelle and I drove around the corner, and we came to interview with the committee here, and I saw this little tower, and I saw a lighthouse. A lighthouse for the gospel of Jesus Christ, shining out the truth and love. I'd already seen the mission statement, which essentially has not been changed since before I got here, reaching out with the love and message of Jesus Christ. Lighthouse. God is with us on purpose for a purpose. We are to shine out with God's light of love and truth like Christmas lights all year long. All of our neighbors have some kind of a deep intuitive understanding about Christmas. And shine out the lights. They almost get it. We have to help them make the connection. We have to help them get connected to the real power source. The life power source, the eternal life power source, which is the living God, Emmanuel. Lights are fragile, especially in the cold. But listen, church. when we don't shine, we can short out the whole system. And God will find another way to show His truth and His love. But what a privilege to be partners with Him in the process. Each of us, with the colors that God has painted on our enamel, shining out. Letting the light of God within us shine out through us. Each of us unique. Part of the larger plan. Part of the string. The key, of course, is staying connected to the power source. Good news, friends. Immanuel. The power source stays connected to us. When we blow it, He changes our fuse. When we get cracked, He works to heal and repair. He doesn't just unscrew us, what's left of us, and throw us away. Once you're on His string, you stay on His string. Let me close with three important principles. I'm just going to mention these, but it's good news, good thing to have in your notes. Three important purpose principles for God's people. It was true for Abraham, it was true for Mary, it was true for Joseph, and it is true for us. First, what God calls us to, God empowers us for. This is the potency principle. There is nothing that God will ask us to do that He doesn't empower us to do. God will never ask us to do something we cannot do. Now, He'll ask us to do plenty of things that we don't think we can do. In fact, He'll do that all the time. He is going to stretch us. He's going to push us. He's going to say, go do that. And we're going to say, I can't do that. But count on this. Count on this. If God is really asking you to do it, and there's discernment in that, but if God is really asking you to do it, God will empower you to do it. Here's just a quick test. You think of the person this Christmas season that is in your sphere of influence, somebody you see every week, every day maybe, that you know you're going to see during the Christmas season, who is the least likely to be interested in Jesus at all. And you ask yourself whether or not God might want to use you. Of course not. There's no way. They're not going to listen to me. They don't even like me. You ask yourself if maybe God is asking you to be the one to point them in an effective, fruitful way toward Immanuel. Hey, God's with you. Trust Him. And then pray. Just pray, pray, pray. And watch and see what happens. Commit to it. Okay, all right, God, I'll see. And then maybe in a timid way, kind of do your however you do it to build that little bridge from you, for them, with Jesus, and see what happens. I am very confident that it's not going to work the way I think or you think in every circumstance, maybe in any circumstance, but somebody here is going to take me up on that, is going to take him up on that, and they're going to come back with a story of a miracle in their life. It couldn't have happened, and it did. Somebody was open that I just didn't think would even be possible. Maybe not everybody, but if God is calling us to it, God is empowering us for it, even if it may seem tough for us, maybe even impossible for us. Our impossibilities are not just God's possibilities, God's actualities. Okay, second principle, where God calls us, God precedes us. This is the precursor principle. I had to find a P word. You never go anywhere that God hasn't already been. God never sends you out somewhere and then asks you to come back and report. How was it over there? Oh, really? Oh, I had no idea. Wherever you step, wherever you enter into, whatever tough situation, difficult relational reality, surgical center, wherever God sends us, He's already there. And He's prepared the way. And then finally, what I'm calling the proximity principle. When God calls us to go further, keep going. Go, go. He has already called us to come closer. Wherever God asks us to shine, however God asks us to shine, in the Christmas season and throughout the year, He has already invited us, called us to come closer to Him, to stay in connection with the power source that is Him. Go further, always with come closer. Christmas lights. You gotta love them. And friends, it is cold and dark out there. And I'm not talking about the winter nights and the snow. I'm talking about the spiritual reality of Reno, Nevada. It's cold and dark out there. People are freezing in their souls. It's tough for people to see unless somebody shines some light. How about us? It comes around every year, and I'm struck. Christmas time is the easiest time to witness. People in our culture are still friendly to Christmas. And it's not a huge leap to talk about the real Christmas. Did you know that our tableau was on the news this last week? I didn't see it. Sunday night. Channel 4. Some kind of special interest. And they actually showed clips of our, somebody had a camera that they did video with, and they showed clips of our tableau. The choir singing, Donnell directing, Yvette Duaneus as Mary. And it was on TV. And it was actually introduced very nicely. Along the lines of, what a wonderful way to start the Christmas season. By telling the story. Now, they didn't get into the story on the news. But boy, it'd be easy for me to jump in and say, yeah, we told the story, and here's the story. Christmas is a great time for us to share the truth of God with us. People are, the bridge is already there. We just need some people to walk across and shine. How about us? How are you and I going to shine this Christmas? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for this chance to be together, to hear Your word, to celebrate Your presence with us. Lord, Emmanuel, You are with us here today. Your Spirit is with us here today. You are strong. You empower. You are close. Lord, help us to count on these things. And to live and move and have our being and in partnership with You through this Christmas season and through our lives. Lord, not trying to earn from You something. You've already given it all. But to live a full life. To shine like we're meant to. Lord, because You've said it is sort of about us. We're the ones. We're the Christmas community. We are the ones made in Your image, given Your purpose to share. It is kind of about us, even as it's all about You. Lord, help us to know these things, to know how important we are to You. And so, to know that You are what's important to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for His sake.